The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Taxes show.
It's the show you've all been waiting for. Until now. Until literally right now.
Now!
Literally right now. Literally. Now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there. Hey. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Albin,
hello.
How are you?
Hello.
You know what people can't see? If people aren't signed up to Metaxas Super, they can't see that you're wearing the Eric Metaxas Show hat.
Oh, yes. There it is.
And that you look so handsome in that hat. You know, I'm typically not attracted to your body type, but in that hat, everything else just goes away. Just goes away. And all I see is the hat, and just a kind of Sehnsucht comes into me. Well, just a longing for something not of this world.
My body type has been described as gazelle-like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're kind of like an impala.
I am.
Oh, okay, so we just heard from Gabriel Kubi. If you missed hour one today, folks, by the way, today's Friday, in case you're scoring at home, today's Friday.
Friday.
If you missed hour one today of this program, I still hear it, Werewolves of London. What happened? Did Eric Hansen die?
Yeah, he's still rolling.
I think he's mesmerized by the food. No, basically, we...
Today's Friday.
Who knows what's going on? But here's what's happening. Gabriel Kubi was hour one today. And hour one today with Gabriel Kubi, it's just a taste because I want to have her back, but we're going to have her on Socrates in the City February 26th. Mm-hmm. That is going to be great. So if you want to make plans to be in New York City for that, you can go to the website SocratesInTheCity.com. But I'm excited. She's a big deal, and she's coming all the way from Germany. March 20th, we have our dear friend Greg Thornberry, who's now the chancellor of the King's College across the street.
Wow.
And his book is finally coming out on the great musician Larry Norman, who pretty much invented Christian music, although it's not even right. It's like he was a rock and roller who talked about Jesus, but he wasn't like a Christian musician. It's kind of a whole other thing, but that's another story.
Well, the book tells you what it's all
about. So I want to mention those two things. I also want to mention today is Groundhog Day.
Yes, Groundhog Day. Love that movie. My wife and I, we watch it every year on February 2nd.
Are you kidding? Yeah. You like it that much?
I force her to watch it. It's one of my favorite romantic comedies. I mean, I just get all teared up at it. At the end of the movie, I just get all worked up. Yeah.
You're a sensitive soul.
I am.
Because in person, you're gruff and mean.
I am.
But I know.
An ogre in person.
Okay, so Groundhog Day is today. Today is another opportunity for Mayor de Blasio to kill a groundhog.
Yes. The president
Very
of Groundhog
few people
Day,
know
Mayor de Blasio.
That he murdered a groundhog.
I
just
heard
a few.
About
they
it.
Try to sweep it under the rug because it's very painful to acknowledge that the mayor of this big city murdered a rodent.
Yeah, we talked about that last year on Fun Facts
Friday. It's ugly.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's a communist. They have different values.
They do.
Okay, so also this weekend is the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am going to be in Florida this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be back next week. But this weekend, which is to say I'm leaving today, going to Florida.
Okay.
And we're going to be with some friends. And I know on Sunday night we're going to watch the Super Bowl. I will be rooting for the Eagles.
Okay.
But some people will be rooting for the Patriots, those people will be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
No, of course not. It's just with sports, people get so, you know, it's just so funny. These are adult men playing games.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to put it that way.
Yeah,
they're playing games. But we're going to watch Super Bowl, and we'll talk about that at some point next week. But we'll see what happens. Will you be watching it?
I will not.
You won't.
Ever since my Pittsburgh Steelers became the Pittsburgh Kneelers, I said, that's it for me this season, folks. I'll
the
see
kneeling,
you next
think
year.
Of the money that the NFL has lost because of this kneeling
I'm one
stuff.
Of those guys. I'm just not watching. I'm tuned
well,
I've, out.
Look, I've actually said this, that there's certain things I find hilarious. And this is – actually, maybe it's not hilarious. It's sad. I feel people don't think clearly. In other words, nobody – when you talk about First Amendment rights, they're the First Amendment rights to kneel. No, they don't. They are not free citizens when they're wearing the uniform and they're on the field. It's like saying that a McDonald's employee has the First Amendment rights to preach from the fry machine. No, he doesn't. He does not. When you're employed by somebody, the employer can tell you, just like the Yankees in baseball used to say to their employees making millions of dollars, say, hey, cut your hair,
shave
no
the beard.
Beards.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox had different rules.
Yeah, that's what I.
But
like.
It's like you got to play by the rules, and so the managers, and the management and Roger Goodell, I think, have no guts, and they're afraid of being called racist.
Yeah,
which is itself so stupid.
Exactly.
But they're
afraid,
so they don't say anything.
There's something there because you just move on, baby. I think we should have gone past skin color a long time ago.
Well,
I have something against tall people, by the way.
That was the goal of Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh yeah, Google him, folks, because it seems like a lot of people have forgotten who he is.
Yeah. Well, he was against paying attention to the color of your skin, but
something like that.
We know that there's a lot of emotion on both sides, but just because there's emotion doesn't mean we shouldn't be able to express this. And I just want to say that I think the wise thing would have said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to turn this into a political circus.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick, you can't do that. OK. Yeah. And if you don't like it, you can leave. But I have to say that they lost tons of money. And now when they've lost tons of money, the NFL has lost tons of money. Suddenly they're thinking, we better do something about this. So who knows what's going to happen at the Super Bowl this weekend.
Right, and what's going to happen next season. That's what I liked about baseball this year, all the way through the playoffs and stuff like that. Stand along the lines, first baseline, third baseline. Yes, second baseline.
Yeah.
hats over their hearts. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are like, I don't know. But that's what the team does. You're a team. Afterwards, say what you want and
mean
what you say.
But that's the whole point. It's like, of course, everybody has a First Amendment right, but not when you're on the stinking field during a game. It's just hilarious that people don't get that.
Yeah. Like in Salem, we're not allowed to say stinking, but you just said it.
And I just said it. Yeah. But it is interesting that we don't understand. Let's have clarity. You need to be logical and clear, and then you can have a conversation.
Yeah.
But when people are just throwing around insults and, you know, calling people racist, or there's no point. There's no point. Okay. In a few minutes, we're talking to somebody about how 12 ways your phone is controlling you.
Yeah, that'll be fun, really.
And I don't want to hear about it, but we're going to talk to Tony Runke about his book, 12 Ways Your Phone is Controlling You. I also want to mention, if you are not getting Imprimis for free, all you have to do is go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com. MetaxasForHillsdale.com. And I also want to say, if you're not getting my weekly newsletter, I'm not talking about the one that you get from this show. I'm talking about my personal EricMetaxas.com newsletter. You have to go to EricMetaxas.com and sign up for it. If you don't like it, you can unsubscribe. But I promise you, there's stuff in there. There's photos. Fun stuff that I can't get into either on the radio or that you're not going to get otherwise. So I just want to encourage you to go to EricMetaxas.com. Next week, we have Patty Heaton going to be on the show.
Yes.
She's got like a cookbook out.
That's right.
It's not enough that she's, you know, a big deal actress.
Right.
She's got a cookbook coming out. So she's going to be on here. We're going to be flipping burgers.
Oh,
actually, no.
Wonderful.
We're not going to do a cook.
Burger I know. From Patty Heaton.
We've got Jack Deere. Heaton. Jack Deere has written a book. Some people know Jack Deere. He's a great Christian author. And he's written a book about his life, like a spiritual biography. It is so powerful. It's a lot of it is really dark. His son committed suicide. He's had horrible problems, and he writes about it with an honesty that is so moving, so beautiful. It's really something. So I recommend it very, very highly. I'm pretty sure I gave him an endorsement for it. When I read it, I said, this is – if we could only have – pastors and spiritual leaders being this honest about their brokenness, it would change everything. So I want to say next week we're going to have Jack Deere on this program. He'll be in New York City, and I think he's going to be going with me to the Ken Fish Conference. The Ken Fish Conference. Oh, we haven't mentioned that in a while. February 7th, 8th, and 9th, I think even to the 10th. It's Convergence, and it's around here. I will be there. Okay, we're going to talk for a little bit about how 12 ways your phone is controlling you, and we'll catch you at the end of the hour. If you missed hour one today, oh my gosh, Gabriel Kubi, go back, listen to it. We'll be right back.
Sleep pretty, darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
Hi, I'm Victoria Hurst. My family's company, the Hurst Corporation, publishes a magazine aimed at young women called Cosmopolitan. Nicknamed Cosmo, it contains pornography that hurts kids. I oppose this and have asked the Hearst Corporation Board of Directors many times to label Cosmopolitan adult material so that it cannot be sold to anyone under 18. But the company has refused to do it. So now I have a campaign called Cosmo Hurts Kids. I'm working with legislators, law enforcement, and community groups to have all U.S. states' material harmful to minors laws enforced against Cosmo so that it cannot be sold to your kids. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation says Cosmopolitan magazine contains pornography and is harmful to minors. American Psychological Association studies prove that early exposure to sexualization has significant negative mental health consequences for underage girls. My website is CosmoHurtsKids.com. CosmoHurtsKids.com.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper and deeper in credit card debt and you're not sure how to fix the problem? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management is a nonprofit organization that will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges and reduce your interest rates by as much as 60%. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. It's not a loan. It's a smart way to relieve your stress, meet your obligations, and preserve your self-respect. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom, just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional, but it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
If you feel that it's real, I'm on trial, and I'm here again in your prison. Like a coin in your mint, I am
Hey, folks, it's Eric Metaxas' show, and who's the pilot of your soul? We don't plan the music, but I just sometimes am intrigued by the lyrics because they happen to coincide with what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, here's a big question, and it's on the back of a book that I'm holding by my guest this hour, Tony Renke. The line on the back of the book says, "Do you control your phone, or does your phone control you?" Now, I think everybody who's listening has to get a little frisson of fear when you hear that. Do you control your phone, or does your phone control you? This is the issue, one of the issues of our time. The new book out by Tony Renke is called 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. It has a foreword by no less than the great John Piper. Tony, welcome to the program.
I appreciate it, Eric. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for your time. You've written this book, but you're a writer, you're a journalist, you've written for DesiringGod.org, which is something that John Piper, I guess, what is he, like the paterfamilias of DesiringGod.org? How do you describe his
work? Yeah, you could say that.
But you wouldn't, right?
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't. But I could say it. He's the paterfamilias of DesiringGod.org. And but you also host a podcast called Ask Pastor John. Now, Pastor John is John Piper, but you host the podcast.
Right.
Okay.
That's right. I host it. Yep.
You also you're the author of a number of books, one of them, which looks really interesting to me. I haven't seen it, but it's called Lit, A Christian Guide to Reading Books. Sounds terrific. Mm-hmm. But today I want to talk to you about your new book called 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. This is like one of the issues of our time, no question. So what prompted you to write the book?
Yeah, well, I started to see, you know, just a number of social consequences that are coming along with our smartphones. You know, things like inactivity and obesity are on the rise, and stress and anxiety on the rise for many. We see anxiety and depression on the rise in teens. Sleeplessness is a growing problem. And so we've just seen over and over again that smartphone overuse has led to all sorts of physiological problems in our lives, everything from poor posture to sore necks, eye strain, headaches, a rise in hypertension, new forms of stress-induced shallow breathing patterns. Sometimes when you get really intense online, your breathing slows to an almost stop. I mean, there's this physiological connection with our phones and our phone abuse. And so I wanted to start looking into this, like what behind all of those things, what are the cravings and the hopes and the wants and the secret anonymous desires that are really controlling us from the inside when it comes to our smartphones? And so I just started asking questions. I started to find experts in the field and spent 2 to 3 years just researching and trying to find out what is a smartphone doing to us. And from a Christian perspective, what does this mean for us?
Okay, so what is a smartphone doing to us? The title of the book is 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. What are some ways that phones are in fact changing us?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things. I narrowed it down to 12. I think you could talk about a lot more than 12. But really what I found is in all of my conversations over this topic, it's come back to this question of what has God called me to be and to do? No matter what question we're talking about, no matter what influence we're talking about, the question is, what has God called you to do, and how can you use a smartphone to fulfill your calling? And I think this is the fundamental thing that keeps getting exposed in all of my conversations with people, is that a lot of Christians just operate with a failure to understand, like, what is my responsibility in the home, in church, at work, at school, in my community? What has God called me to do? And when there's a vacuum there of when it's unclear to us what God has called us to do, we fill our lives with media. And I think fundamentally that becomes one of the root issues. There's just a lot of Christians who are struggling with their identity in God's calling. And when that's not answered, the smartphone comes in and offers us just a buffet of digital media to keep us busy. And we live without any sort of sense of purpose. And I think that for Christians is really, if you want to get down to the bottom level of what I think I've exposed, is that question, what has God called me to do, and not having clarity there?
Well, I mean, many people who listen to this program are not Christians. And what I would say to them based on what you've just said is that the phone then distracts us from finding God's calling on our life and from even finding God, that this is something that is keeping us just distracted and entertained enough that the very reason we're on the planet is lost to us, which is the most horrifying thing you can imagine, that you're
exactly
missing
right.
out on the reason that you are standing on planet Earth in this generation. You're being distracted through the years away from the very purpose of your existence. That is mm-hmm. that is the danger of entertainment, perpetual entertainment available to you in your hand at all times.
Yeah, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer was pointing this out in 1928 Germany. He was saying what was driving people in 1928 Germany, Bonhoeffer said, was this desire for a social life, this desire for new media that is distracting people from the two voices that they need to hear from. The two voices that everyone needs to hear from is, number one, that voice that when you're alone and you're in solitude, that voice that tells you something's not quite right with you. There's something off inside of you. There's something broken inside of you. And we don't want to hear that voice. And the second thing he said is we don't want to make eye contact with God. Because if we make eye contact with God, he's going to call us to be and to do something that's frightening. We don't want an encounter with God. And so those are the two voices we're trying to evade with social life and with media. Now, of course, social and media has become one. It's social media for us. So Bonhoeffer couldn't have predicted that would enmesh into one thing. But social media now is where we go so that we don't have to hear that voice of that comes out from inside of us that tells us something is deeply broken inside of me. And number two, we distract ourselves from God. We don't want an encounter with God. We don't want to meet him in his word. And so we drown out the solitude, the silence with media so that we don't hear those two voices. So that's Bonhoeffer in 1928 Germany making that point, and it carries over. And of course, Bonhoeffer then said, if we can't have healthy solitude, that's going to become a cancer on our community. As he would develop later, but I mean, so
healthy solitude.
So Christians have been talking about these things for many, many years. I'm just sort of applying that now to the smartphone age, but these questions have been around perpetually.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people, their response might be, big deal. I know what you're saying, but I'm not worried about it. You know, what do you say to those people?
I mean, that's part of this book, is trying to discomfort those people who have become comfortable with their smartphone habits that are unhealthy, and trying to point out to them, whether we look at the studies and we look at the physiological effects, or whether we look at the spiritual effects, or whether we look at, I mean, we've got celebrities all over the place asking, like, what is our smartphone doing to us? We've got Denzel Washington on a BBC interview saying, what is the smartphone doing to us? We've got former execs from Apple and Facebook coming out with warnings saying, I don't let my kids use screens. I don't let my kids use the technologies that I helped birth into this world. I mean, the warning signs are all around us. And I think it's parents and it's pastors, it's parents, leaders, and pastors who are starting to awaken to all of the consequences. And other demographics are, I think, just now starting to wake up to see that there are serious consequences here. And I think it's for parents and pastors. They're watching what's happening with teens and with early 20-year-olds and how the smartphone just shapes their entire existence in a way that's unhealthy. And as a father myself, I see smartphone habits that are very unhealthy in my own life, and I pass some of those on to my kids. And so I think it's once you start to have kids, like these Silicon Valley geniuses who in their 20s made these crazy, incredible inventions. Now their kids are using those inventions, and now they're sort of awakening to the power of them and the dangers of them. And so I think from parents especially, they're the ones on the leading edge saying, whoa, something significant is happening here.
Right. And it's never happened before. And we better, figure it out before it kills us. But I think that, look, we all have affinities. Every human being has certain affinities. We have affinities toward pleasure and against pain. And the free market will give us what we want, right? And so if we want entertainment and convenience and distraction, all of which are good things to a point, these are good things. But the question is, at what point do these good things begin to become bad things? And it seems clear to me that to have the convenience of a phone in your hand that can deliver movies, anything you like at any time, it's like having
crack cocaine in your hand. It's like trying to quit cigarettes, but having cigarettes in your breast pocket. If they're in your breast pocket, it's going to be infinitely more difficult to quit than if they're not in the house. If you have to get in the car and go down the street to the convenience store to get cigarettes, we have put cigarettes in our breast pockets. We put pornography in our hands. It's something that, you know, here we got it and it's bad. We're going to be right back, folks, talking about something important. 12 Ways Your Phone Is Changing You by Tony Renka is the book. We'll be right back.
Seeing my prayers gone unanswered.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-694-7394. 800-694-7394. That's 800-694-7394.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking to Tony Renka about his new book, 12 Ways Your Phone Is Changing You. So what other ways, Tony, are our phones changing us specifically?
Yeah, I mean, one of the big ones is that we ignore flesh and blood. You know, we ignore our neighbors, our family. We ignore people around us. And social media isolates us to a set of people who are most like us in interests and in age. So we lose sight of a lot of people who are unlike us. And this is a perpetual problem that Jesus, you know, warned about a long time ago with the Good Samaritan story in Luke chapter 10. You know, we have a priest and a Levite who both have ministry opportunities off in the distance, and they ignore the needy neighbor who's in the gutter who needs their attention. And I think virtually we all have, as Christians, we have these ministry opportunities, these virtual opportunities that keep our time and our mind and our attention off in this distant, remote space where we just lose the sight of the people around us. And you can talk about texting and driving as one of the manifestations of this, but we just lose a sense of the flesh and blood people around us. And I think that's something that we all struggle with, whether you're a father, a mother, or whether you're at work and you've been called to certain duties and you lose sight of those because there's this there's some conversation online that you've jumped into. We just lose a sense of our embodied existence.
Right. Well, and that's clearly a serious thing. I've heard that our very brains, which are plastic, our brains are plastic in the true sense of that adjective, our brains can change, and that when you feed mm-hmm. something, you know, the dopamine receptors react, and over time our brains change. And if you're feeding your brain with constant input entertainment, eventually you become less able to deal with a few minutes of boredom, a few minutes to have your thoughts to yourself. That, to me, is actually very scary.
Yeah, and that's what's unique about our media today. There's been a lot of, you know, intrusive media in the past, but nothing like what we've seen today, where each 9-second gap of our day can be filled with new media, with a new stimulant, a new dose, a new hit, a new hyper-palatable Twinkie of something that we want online, whether it's self-affirmation or whether we want to jump into a conversation and have a debate. Every small 9-second gap of our day now can be targeted. That's pretty unique to our age.
Did you say hyper-palatable Twinkie?
Hyper-palatable Twinkie, yes.
I really like that phrase, hyper-palatable Twinkie. Can something be hyper-palatable? I guess so. When you say 9 seconds, where do you get that from?
Yeah, so those are studies that are being done by Microsoft and certain social media platforms, and just saying, like, we can change our attention every 9 seconds. We can fragment our attention down into every 9 seconds. It's a human phenomenon, but it's something that works in social media. So you can literally, your attention can flip from one thing to the next in 9-second fragments. There's a study that was funded by Microsoft and got quite a bit of press about
a
year and a half ago.
It's interesting. Since you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, I can say this to you. One thing that drives me out of my mind is I'm in church and people pull out their phones and like, oh, no, I'm looking up scripture. I feel like saying, put your freaking phone away. You are in church. And if I were the pastor of a church, I would not allow phones. I would say, sorry, folks, in this church, we turn off our phones. We don't look at our phones. If you want to look at your phone, there's a room in the back. But the idea that in church, people are looking at their stinking phones, it just amazes me. Because if everybody's looking at their phones, nobody is focused on God or on the speaker. And by the way, that's just simply rude. If somebody's speaking and you're kind of like in and out, you know, you're not watching TV. There's a human being there speaking. But this has become normative in churches. It just blows my mind that people think it's okay to look at your phone in church.
I think this is one of the challenges, too, for parenting, because, you know, when I was growing up, I knew when my mom was doing taxes because there were receipts and tax forms all over the kitchen table. I knew when she was putting together a party because she had her dossier of all of her contacts spread out on the table. I knew I could tell what my parents were doing based upon the physical things I could see. And our kids now growing up watching us do things online, they don't know what we're doing. They don't know if we're goofing around. They don't know if we're watching a YouTube video. They don't know if we're just wasting time. They don't know if we're doing taxes or doing work. And so there's an increasing challenge to explain to our kids what we're doing with our technology so that they don't get the sense that we're just wasting a lot of time, but we can actually explain to them, here's what I'm doing online. Here's what I'm doing with my device. And this carries over into that church context as well. You just don't know what somebody's doing with their phone because all of their communications technologies has been dumped into this one powerful technology, which is great. It's a great handy thing, but you're always suspicious of someone who has their phone open. You don't know what they're doing. And that's inherent to our technologies now. We don't know what each other are doing.
Well, that's why I say, I mean, at the very least, I would say when you're in church. Now, a lot of people are thinking, Eric, get with the program. No, I think you need to get with the program. It's distracting to your neighbor. If you care about your neighbor, which you should, by the way, Mr. Christian, if you care about your neighbor, you got to care about if you're distracting him with a screen. Even if you're reading Galatians, who cares? It's a screen and it's distracting. We're going to be right back, folks, going to another break. Tony Renke is the author and my guest. The book is 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. Hey, Alvin.
Hey, Eric.
Yes. I'd like to tell you about Relief Factor.
Yes.
Relief Factor, the website is relieffactor.com, is something I've been taking for quite a while.
I know. You've taken it on the air.
I've taken it literally on the air.
Yeah.
Because
a lot of people, I think they deal with pain and they kind of think, well, that's just the way it is now. And I say, wait a second. That may be. But you know what? I would try Relief Factor first, which is what I did. It really does help. It's an anti-inflammatory, but it's botanical. So it's all natural. It's not like taking Advil or some crazy thing like that, which is ultimately toxic. You don't want to put that stuff in your body. So I take Relief Factor. You can take it for 3 weeks and you'll know if it works for you, because there are all these different neural pain pathways, and each one of the things in the Relief Factor package deals with a different one. So I recommend that people get the Quick Start Pack for $19.95, and then you'll know. It is available at relieffactor.com. I would just go there, go to relieffactor.com, check it out. It works for me, relieffactor.com.
I'm just so upset. I'm having so much trouble getting to sleep, only to wake up in the middle of the night worrying all over again. I'm wearing down. There's no one I trust, no one I can open up to. But I've got to find someone I can talk to. I can't keep going on like this.
She found help, and so can you. We are Faithful Counseling, the world's largest platform for faith-based professional counseling. Our Christian counselors are all licensed, trained, and experienced, qualified and certified by the state board, but more importantly, we share your Christian values. Available 24/7 by text, messaging, phone, and video conferencing from the comfort of your own home. We'd like to invite you to try your first week free by going to faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word HELP. That's faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word HELP to get your first week free. Faithful Counseling, we're here when you need us.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. You've heard about our Solera infrared grills at BestHotGrill.com, but did you know we also make the best gas logs for your fireplace? You've probably seen Rasmussen gas logs and fireballs on TV and in the movies. We've got sizes to fit all fireplaces, styles to fit every decor, and we even do custom designs for large and unusual fireplaces. Lighting these logs is as easy as pushing a button. Realistic Rasmussen gas logs look great even when the fire is off. For regions prone to power outages, gas logs are an excellent source of emergency heat with no electricity required. We've been making them since the 50s, so you can buy a Rasmussen gas log with confidence. So go to besthotgrill.com to find the products you need to keep you warm inside and outside of your home while eating great grilled food. Learn more at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com, besthotgrill.com.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper and deeper in credit card debt, and you're not sure how to fix the problem? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management is a nonprofit organization that will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, and reduce your interest rates by as much as 60%. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. It's not a loan. It's a smart way to relieve your stress, meet your obligations, and preserve your self-respect. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
That's not my story, but it's a great song. I'm talking to Tony Ranke, the author of a new book called 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. And before we went to the break, Tony, I was saying to people in churches that they really should put down their phones. They shouldn't be looking at their phones in churches because it distracts your neighbor. What about that? I mean, I'm just kind of amazed that sometimes churches, you would think that they would hold the line on some of this basic stuff. To me, it's an issue of etiquette.
It's an issue of, are you being rude to your neighbor? What about rudeness? What about, you know, not in terms of how you dress, in terms of, you know, whether you're pulling out your phone? All these things matter. And I think as a culture, we've become more and more inured to any standards along those lines. And I think that, you know, that to me is kind of a basic thing, that if people are hauling out their phones in the middle of a church service, even to say, like, well, I'm looking up scripture, well, do you need to do that on your phone? I would say, if I were pastor again, I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I agree. And this is something that's plaguing the classroom as well in universities. And more professors are saying, I don't want laptops, I don't want smartphones in my class. You bring bring paper and a pen and take notes, and let's engage, and let's not be checked out. Because, I mean, studies have shown that students who have a smartphone that's Wi-Fi connected in a college classroom check out about 80% of the time. So they're doing email, they're doing Twitter, they're doing Instagram, they're doing those things 80% of their cognitive time. They're just checked out anyways. And so, yeah, I agree. I think when you open up a screen in church, you invite all of the eyes of the neighbors around you. You're exactly right. I mean, whenever somebody opens a tablet or a smartphone to do their Bible reading or to read the text in church, I always watch the people around them. And without a doubt, there's like a concentric circle around that person of eyes, and especially for younger kids and for teens. They're just glued to that screen. They're just conditioned to be glued to any screen that's on, and it's distracting. And well, so Lewis was talking about the power of squeaking boots, you know, in a local church to distract people. I can't imagine what you would say about the smartphone.
Well, it is. I guess that's from the Screwtape Letters, right?
Yeah,
it sounds like
that's
it.
Right.
Well, you know, look, there are normal distractions. There are distractions that can't be helped, and then there are distractions that are eminently able to be helped. Mm-hmm. One of them is whether we take phones out in church. And again, the idea that some people would consider that's radical is laughable to me. I mean, how pathetic are we? You know, people are showing up at church with, like, you know, travel coffee mugs and, you know, whatever. Like, they're just acting like I can't be bothered to do anything different than I would in my own living room. Like, I'm getting dressed technically, like I'm putting on some clothes, but don't cramp my style, man. Jesus was just hanging out, man. You know, and it's like, folks, it's a little more complicated than that. You have neighbors. Yeah. It's sort of funny. We swing from one extreme to the other. But the phones, to me, are the ultimate. It's like, what do we want? We want comfort, convenience. And eventually we get what we want. And then the question is, OK, now you got it. Is it good for you? Is it what you really wanted?
Yeah.
And in some ways, if we can't exercise our wills over these things, as you say, those things will change us and are changing us.
Mm-hmm. They sure will. Absolutely. And on the flip side, churches want people to bring their smartphones so that they can use a hashtag or so that they can somehow on social media publicize the church or share a quote from the sermon. But I think you're right. I think it's wise to tell people to, hey, back off the technology and just engage with the reading of Scripture. There's something profound about the reading of Scripture. I think that's part of what God intended his word to be read audibly, for you to pick it up audibly. And not necessarily to always see it on paper.
I mean, but, did the Old Testament, did the New Testament church have scrolls? No, they didn't. They didn't flip open the scroll of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
The synagogue had a scroll, and Jesus or whoever the rabbi happened to be that day would read the scroll. Clearly, that was, you know, it worked. I really think that we tell ourselves, like, no, I've got to read it. Why? Why do you? Like, I just don't understand.
Yeah.
Or read it quietly on the page and, you know, use a pen. But I don't mean to harp on this, although it's too late. I've already harped on it. But I think that it's kind of a funny thing that even there, even in the church, people can't say, I'm going to take 1 hour to just not look at my phone. It's turned off. It's in my pocket. We have to be
–
our attention is perpetually fractured.
It is.
What is that? What do you say about that? Do you say anything about that, the idea of the fracturing of attention?
Yeah, that's a big part of the first chapter where I talk about how we're just addicted to distraction, and then it flows over to our literacy. We lose a sense of our literacy because our attention gets fragmented. We experience loneliness because we don't have this prolonged engagement with other people. We use our phones as a sort of buffer and a broker for all of our relationships. And so we don't go very deep because we're always trusting in a machine to sort of buffer us. from one another. And there's this separation, this embodied separation that we don't overcome. It's luxurious. It's easier to be behind a screen than to engage other people. I mean, we feel this when we get onto an elevator and there's two or three other people on the elevator that we don't know. We immediately, impulsively grab for our phones.
Yeah.
We don't know how to interact with people face to face, especially strangers. I mean, we want our relationships to be buffered and brokered through a machine. And so it's almost like a safety blanket, and we need to push through that. And so, yeah, the fragmenting nature of the smartphone and digital media broken into 9-second little Turkish delights for our senses, that has huge impacts on families, on communities, on churches. I mean, you go down the line. And so I think that theme appears all throughout my book because it really touches on everything else.
Well, one thing I would say that churches can do, you can have a cell phone area, right? You could have the balcony or something. You say, if you want to look at your cell phones, you got to sit over there. It's kind of like the smoking lounge. If you need to do it, go over there and don't bother the rest of the people. And the rest of us, I think we're going to make a choice that for one stinking hour, we're not going to look at our phones or whatever it is. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for providing an opportunity for me to rant, Tony Renke.
Thanks for the time.
It's my greatest joy. Seriously, congratulations on the book. The book is 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. Ladies and gentlemen, I think you already know this is very important, especially if you've got kids, and many of us adults are the problem. So check it out, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. Tony Renke, thanks again.
All right, God bless.
Thousands of Christian media professionals, ministry representatives, pastors, and business leaders at Proclaim 18, the NRB International Christian Media Convention, February 27th through March 2nd in Nashville, Tennessee. Hear speakers including Kay Arthur, Rick Warren, Eric Metaxas, Luis Palau, Joel Rosenberg, Jim Caviezel, MyPillow founder Mike Lindell, and dozens more. Gain valuable insights by attending one or more of the convention's 6 industry session tracks, where industry leaders will speak on digital media, radio, TV, church media, film and entertainment, and international ministry. Experience NRB's massive exposition, featuring tools and services to expand and enhance your organization, church, or ministry. From media and fundraising experts to publishers and tech companies, the exposition has what you're looking for. Also on the expo floor will be an exhibit from Museum of the Bible, Proclaim 18, February 27th through March 2nd. For all the details, visit nrbconvention.org.
This is Martin Morin. I'm a veterinarian. I could not be more pleased by my experience with the three-step plan. My home-based business success rate has doubled overall, but lately, with more experience with Andy's system, my success has doubled again. Thank you, Andy Willoughby.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby, and I think the three-step plan could help you make extra money working from home. The three-step plan works like a mini franchise, using proven business techniques to get your business up and running. In just a few days, you could be working from the comfort of your own home. You could work part-time or full-time. You choose your own hours so you could work around family and church commitments. You will never have to miss a soccer game or school play again. You could actually be in charge of your own life. We'll teach you everything you need to know. You'll be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. To find out how you could make more money working from home, go to 3stepplan.com. That's 3stepplan.com. 3stepplan.com.
Eric Metaxas show. It's Friday, Alvin. It's the end of the end of the end of the day. The weekend is here.
The weekend is
I'm
here.
I'm flying to Florida with my honey.
Yes,
don't
I
don't tell Suzanne. She'll kill me.
Oh, she will.
No, actually, Suzanne is my honey. We've been married for 21 and a half years, I think, and we are going to Florida just for a couple of days to spend time with
her friends. And I have to say that we are going to watch the Super Bowl, but I'm not going to mention the Super Bowl on Monday. That's my vow.
Oh, okay.
Because everybody's going to be talking about the Super Bowl on Monday.
You won't, though.
So if I can get through a day of not mentioning it, that way I'll know on Tuesday if I have something to say, I'll say it. But I may by then it may already have blown over, and I'm like, you know what? What I was going to say yesterday, who cares? It's old news.
Let everybody else have their say, and then you'll have your say about their say. And the Super Bowl.
I was just thinking that that's what I might do. But comment, I kind of feel like comments. It's because everybody wants to talk about it. It was like with the State of the Union the other day. They talk about it, and then nobody talks about it. The one thing that was funny this week was the photos of Nancy Pelosi grimacing. It looked like, for all the world, it looked like denture pain. Because why would you? She was moving her mouth in such a way.
Yeah.
That I thought,
what happened?
Is she in pain? She looks like she's in pain.
What happened to the polygrip? Is it loosened?
That's just so mean. I can't believe you would refer to her dentures.
You're going that way.
Did I say dentures?
You did say something like that.
Oh, I take it back.
Okay.
Okay, so seriously, though, it's such a weird thing that the division in Washington is such that you have people on that side of the aisle. They can't even be happy on the State of the Union. They've got a grimace.
Just, you know.
It's so odd. Okay, well, anyway, I really didn't mean to get into that.
No.
By the way, we're going to have John Rankin on. People write us, and they love to hear from John Zmirak. They like to hear from Hugh Ross. There's a number of names that keep coming up.
Yep.
Peter Hitchens and Sally Lloyd-Jones. Haven't had her in a while.
No,
got to have
her
back. But John Rankin is one of the names that keeps coming up, and we're going to have him in here either next week or the week after. But we're going to
Go in depth with him.
We're going to go in depth with him. Oh, you know what I haven't mentioned?
Go long like this.
You know what I haven't mentioned? I was supposed to go to Israel this month. Okay. Last month.
Last month, right. This is February.
And I had to cancel it. We were very sorry because we were going to these really, really dear friends, Pastor Ron Lewis and his wonderful wife, Lynette. These are dear, dear old friends. And we had this whole trip planned to go with them to Israel. And we could not go. It's kind of complicated, but my schedule was so crazy this month that I thought I'm gonna have a heart attack. And there were other issues, but the main thing was that my schedule was lunacy.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to cancel. And I thought, oh my gosh, like I've never been to Israel before.
Wow.
And about a month after we canceled it, I was invited to go to Israel with another group of pastors, and it happened to be right in the middle of February, exactly when I could go. So I am now going to Israel. It's going to be interesting. I don't think I'm going to be doing the radio from there. We'll see. But I just can't believe it. I hope we get to go with Ron and Lynette next year because they are such good friends. But anyway.
One last time.
You know what? We're done with the show's over.
Happy Groundhog Day.
Happy Groundhog Day,
right,
folks.
Friday.
Hug a groundhog.
Please.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.